Fans and the Pros here till 6:30 tonight. We've got LSU basketball coming up after us, so a little bit abbreviated, but a very special week here for all of us Saints fans as the birthday of one of our greatest legends, Deuce McAllister. There you go, buddy. Yesterday, on December 27th, my guy turned 40 years old. You did it, buddy.
If I knew how to tear the wires out, I can't even get my light to come on to even shut this system down. I would have shut it down.
Yeah, we disconnected all of your controls over there, so we're going to go ahead and let that go. But Deuce, 40 years old, man, congratulations. That's a big one, they say, right?
That's what they tell me. You know, I'm thankful and blessed, and you know, just another day. The sun came up. The rain howled last night.
Oh my Lord, did it howl last night?
It was blowing really, really bad. And you know, I know a couple of our listeners got some flooding. Hopefully, I hadn't seen a lot of reports of loss of life, but you know, that's probably the most important. And not my birthday. I mean, it's just making sure that we're okay and we're getting ready for this Who Dat run.
Deuce, that storm didn't overshadow your birthday.
And
I know some people's houses got water, so for them, it definitely overshadowed. But for the rest of us, happy birthday! we're happy for you, and we're glad we got you here. Give us a call 504-260-1870 or text us at 870-870. We're going to be talking a little bit about this Carolina game coming up. We're going to talk about all of the different scenarios we got going on in terms of who's up, who's down, who's playing, who's not. Saints have signed a couple players. We got three linemen out. Teddy Bridgewater starting. So there's a bunch of stuff there. Obviously, the same deal happening across the way with the Carolina Panthers as they've got a bunch of guys out and a bunch of good players that were banged up that there's no longer a reason to play. Cam Newton being the most prevalent, but also Quan Short, which is a big loss for them, and Trey Turner. So we got all that stuff to talk about. Then we're going to get into all of these different possibilities for the divisional round against the Saints. The first playoff game, the Saints are going to have a bye the opening weekend, which is going to be great when you take a look at all of the guys that we are sitting. It's going to be good to get a week off there, and I think important for this team mentally to have a little bit of a break. We talked about that last week during the game, just a mental break of getting away and not having to have one.
It's an opportunity to kind of refresh your body and quote-unquote mentally from that standpoint. So the guys will still practice. What's interesting is talking to Drew on Wednesday, it'll be more of a one-on-one, so it'll be good on good. So it won't be going off of a script type of plays, what the next opponent would be running. This will be what we run as far as Saints, their defense. This is the look we want to practice against. This is the look that we want to kind of show and make sure that we're doing the right things. So that'll be good for the guys. But, hey, look, if you've got a guy that's kind of banged up, that's another week that maybe a practice squad guy would go, or maybe even a backup would go, and that's this upcoming week. That's what they'll take this opportunity to do.
And that'll be good. In the NFL, it's you don't have opportunities to play guys behind very often. First of all, you're very rarely winning a game by 40 points. That's one way in college young players get an opportunity, especially now with the redshirt rule where guys can come in and play in a couple games late in the games and get some action. Now, you know, in the NFL, that just doesn't exist. It's the preseason, and there's a bunch of young players on this team that I think are going to play here for a long time that haven't gotten any substantial action, and you're going to get to see all of those guys have an opportunity. So that's great for the team from an evaluation standpoint. How many guys did you play with that you watch over and over in practice and go, I don't know, and then you put them on the field, and all of a sudden it's like, man, that guy's a player. There's guys that are gamers, and I know coaches hate that term, but those guys exist, and that'll give them an opportunity to see some of those guys in a more prevalent role. You talk about a guy like Simi Cobbs that we signed a couple years ago, the wide receiver out of Indiana, going to get some playing action, I'm sure, with a guy like Mike Thomas, who you're going to want to probably pull back at least, even if he's dressed, because you need the numbers. He's a guy you don't want on the field.
Yeah, but I don't think Mike will dress because of the numbers situation, you know, because he's a guy that doesn't play on special teams anyway. You know, if Mike is in, it's going to be on hands unit. So, I mean, he's if Drew is not going, which we feel pretty good to say that Drew is probably not going to go. Yep. Then Michael Thomas is probably not going to go because he's, you know, look, he's not on special teams. You'll play some of the other younger guys.
And I think that Drew sitting down has a lot to do with the fact that three offensive linemen have already been ruled out for this game. So we're going to talk about that and more. Our WWL Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. Do you think the Saints will win Sunday even if all the starters don't play? You can call us 504-260-1870. Text us at 870-870. James, you're going to be up when we come back. We're going to be talking about that and more. You're listening to Fans and the Pros. We forgot this one the first time we played them, Deuce. I can't remember. Are they, they're in North Carolina, right? Charlotte's in North Carolina. Yeah.
That's Petey Pablo. That's them.
That's Petey Pablo. That's what Fred told me. That was the first one that was played, and I was like, God, I can't believe I forgot that one. It wasn't easy. We were looking up Charlotte, though.
Yeah, we were looking up Charlotte and just not North Carolina.
Yeah, we weren't thinking North Carolina. Let's go to the phone lines. You can give us a call, 504-260-1870, or text us at 870-870. Let's go to James in New Orleans East. James, how you doing?
Doing fine. How are you all this evening?
Doing well. What do you got?
Well, I just want to say happy birthday to Deuce, and you guys are doing such a great job. My question is for Deuce. Teddy Bridgewater is our quarterback, and I was wondering if you were in Teddy Bridgewater's shoes looking forward, would you want to stay with the Saints as the heir apparent to Drew Brees, or would you want to take a chance on starting somewhere else in the NFL next year?
Hold on. James, why you disrespect me like that? I played football too.
Well, I was going to get to you. I'll say the best for last.
Oh, okay. Good answer, James. Go ahead, Deuce.
James, I think you would really have to weigh the situation when you look around the NFL and what teams will come after you. I mean, because obviously, unless the Saints can get a deal done with him before he hit free agency, and there's some creative ways they can do so, but I mean, it's really going to be, one, is Drew Brees coming back? Two, you know, when Teddy steps into this role as a starter, we feel like that the Saints do want him. But three, if he doesn't and he does hit the open market, I mean, is he looking at 15, 18, 20 a year? Those are all some of the situations that he's going to be looking at and kind of discussing with his agent. I mean, and it's one thing to have, let's just say, Arizona offering you that money, and Arizona won't be one of those teams because they have Josh Rosen, but we're just using that team as an example. You know, let's look at Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos are said to have a new head coach and possibly a new quarterback. You know, and is that a stable enough situation for Teddy to walk into? You know, you look at Jacksonville. Jacksonville say they're going to bring Doug back, Marone back. And we know their quarterback situation. They just paid hefty an extension to Blake Bortles, but, you know, I don't know how many people or teammates Blake Bortles has, if those guys are sold on him. So he's going to have a market. The question just becomes, you know, is he going to walk away from a long-term deal from another team, or can the Saints even get, you know, him a deal done?
Gotcha. All right, Zach, let's hear it.
Well, thanks for asking, James. I'll tell you, I said this when they traded for him, and I still believe it. And I've talked to some of the management about this, and they're unwilling to show their cards. But I'm going to stand by it. I think that when they went out and traded for Teddy Bridgewater, they knew in that moment that they had an idea in their head of how long Drew would play. I think that's been discussed with Teddy's management. And I believe that Teddy Bridgewater knows – that he's in a very good situation. I think that Drew is playing at most one more season. I think they can get something done, and they will spend the next year building an offense around Teddy Bridgewater's skill set, which they now know intimately exactly what that skill set is, and that Teddy knows that at 27 years old, he'll be locked and loaded with what looks to be an elite defense, an offensive mastermind, a head coach, and tremendous stability in the ownership group. So I think Teddy's staying. That's my opinion.
Great. Thank you so much, guys.
All right, thanks, James. Yeah, and I don't know. I try hard to get information like that out of people. But, and you know, the reality is they don't know either. I mean, things happen and things change. And like you said, a great situation comes up where you go, man, that, you know, I would love to be a Saint. I think Teddy's enjoyed himself. And you can tell in the locker room that room has embraced him. He loves being here. It's hard not to love being somewhere when you're 13-2. That's just the reality of it. But that he also knows that it's a really good situation.
Right.
It's a team with some really good young skill players. It's a defense that's young, that's you know, obviously ascending. It's a great head coach. It's a city that loves its players. And so I think he knows it's a good situation. But like you said, they might turn around and say, hey, a place like Denver goes and gets a head coach that all young quarterbacks find attractive. You have a very good defense there. You have Philip Lindsay at running back, and all of a sudden they say, hey, here's the plan. We're going to go out. We're going to get this free agent wide receiver. We're going to build everything around you. And maybe that's attractive, too attractive to turn down at a certain price point.
At a certain price point, that's going to be the key. And so that's something that, honestly, we can say all the right things now and 2 months, that all changes because of a package that he can't walk away from. I mean, ultimately, it's not up to his agent. His agent is going to do the best job to go out and get the best package for him. But, I mean, it's somewhere where he's going to, A, have to be comfortable, want to be comfortable, and B, feel like that he can have a chance to be successful.
And I know, listen, Teddy's a sharp guy.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, that was tagged on him coming out as a college player, that Teddy Bridgewater's a smart kid, and I think he's smart enough to see the big picture. He's been in the league long enough to see the big picture, and that's the interesting thing. When you're really young,
the last
thing on your mind is what's around me. No, there's none of that is your question.
I can do it all by myself.
Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, he's now smart enough to see a good quarterback, a guy that he knows is a good player in a bad situation that can't produce like he should be able to, or, you know, or vice versa, a very average quarterback producing at a high level because of the pieces that are around him. And so I think that's something that I think he'll see that, you know, I do. And I think that because of the run that they've had, because of the season that the Saints have had, you can't help but have a good time. I mean, you're going to be having a blast, right? You're 13-2, your coach is doing dances in the locker room.
Well, and here's the other part. I think also you get in some systems and the unknown is what scares you. He's been here enough to kind of understand and know, hey, look, this is how they operate. This is how Drew does this. I'm pretty sure that they'll give me the same opportunity, you know, whether it's checking at the line. I was with a quarterback early on that couldn't check. I mean, he did not have the ability to change or check out of certain plays. Now, not to say Sean has run it as well, certain plays that they're going to run regardless. I mean, but when you have the freedom and you have the relationship with your offensive coordinator and your head coach that you can operate as a quarterback because you've put in the time during the week, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, and I think what's lost at times is how good Teddy Bridgewater was when he got hurt.
Correct.
Teddy Bridgewater is our backup quarterback. He had a massive knee injury, a dislocation of his knee. They were afraid they were going to have to amputate it. That's a big, big injury and a dangerous injury. The same for Saints fans who remember Zach Miller against the Bears last year. That injury in the end zone, he spent 3 weeks in the hospital. Same injury that Teddy had. Teddy Bridgewater was a Pro Bowl quarterback going in. He's also a highly accurate quarterback and always has been. He was a Rookie of the Year. There's so many things going for him, and I think that the Saints understand that that's a guy. This is an opportunity to transition out of a Hall of Fame quarterback that very few teams have ever had. And I think you do anything that you need to or anything that you can to prevent him from walking out the door, especially now knowing what it is that you have. There's going to be lots more fans in the pros. We're going to go through all the playoff scenarios and more Saints Carolina talk when we return after this CBS News update. It's a little Mike Thomas shout out there. Oh, yeah, I know it's Master P. Who are you telling? That's Mike Thomas's. That's his music right there. He's a big Master P fan. Welcome back to Fans in the Pros on WWL. Deuce and I joined now by former Saint, former Carolina Panther, uniquely qualified to discuss this game, and the pride of Brobridge, Louisiana, Jake Delhomme. Jake, thanks for being with us, bud.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm truly honored to be on with, you know, two New Orleans Saints legends.
Well, use that. We use the term two there very lightly. We definitely have one New Orleans legend, although all of his records are falling. So I don't know. In a couple of years, you know, he'll just be the old 40-year-old Deuce.
Jake, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Did we interrupt you from hunting, or are you training some horses right now?
I don't hunt. I will say that I'm not a hunter or a fisherman. I enjoy the racehorse bit. We're good right now, but I will be in New Orleans tomorrow. We have a couple running at the fairgrounds, so we will be there tomorrow.
You still training the horses, though, right?
Yeah, we breed them, we race them, we train them, you know, we sell them, everything. My dad, my brother, myself. I'm third generation, so needless to say, it's in the blood.
I got you.
Jake Deuce is just jealous. He wants to race some horses. Actually, you think Deuce has got any type of a future as a jockey?
I promise you he doesn't have any future as a jockey.
Listen.
You think of Deuce, and we played together for a season or two, and one thing I loved about Deuce, and I'll never forget, and he probably won't remember, Deuce was a training camp holdout for like a week maybe. And
11 days.
He showed up on the Saturday of the black and gold scrimmage, and it's at, I think, John L. Guidry Stadium in Nichols.
That's correct.
So Deuce signs the Friday evening, and so he's there the Saturday. Well, I'm running with the twos, so Ricky Williams was the one, so I go in with Deuce. Well, sure enough, Jim Haslett, he had instructions to run Deuce seven or eight times in a row until he takes himself out.
It was seven.
Deuce McAllister was so gassed after the second run, and he'd just look at me in the huddle, and he'd just shake his head. And then as it went on, we had a pass called, and he looked at me, "Don't you dare check the ball down to me." I mean, he was so gassed. I'll never forget that till the day I die. It was just it was comical, just being in the huddle looking at someone. He was just out of it, and he was like, "Oh, my gosh, I can't carry the ball anymore. I need some air."
What did I get myself into here? Well, I appreciate that story, Jake. I really do. I got to ask you, Carolina now down to their third quarterback, Kyle Allen, and it's a player that – it's funny, when they asked Sean Payton this week, and Sean says, well, he's a quick decision maker, and, you know, he's accurate. To me, sounded like I don't really remember him. From the draft time, and I don't know that any of us know that much about it. Can you help us out on Kyle Allen a little bit?
I can't help you out in the least bit. I'll be very honest with you. The Heinicke kid, they got hurt last week. I watched him in Minnesota. I actually enjoyed watching preseason, watching him play, and I always kind of followed him. And whenever North Turner went to Carolina, obviously brought him over. So I was excited just to see the kid play, because we all know, look, there's one starter in Carolina, and that's Cam. But now, with unfortunately him getting hurt, I don't know what to expect. And with Trey Turner out, and that offensive line, you know, wasn't the best to begin with all the injuries that they had. So it's it could be a rough going on Sunday.
Watching the Panthers this year, and obviously we just kind of see the replays, we see the recaps, but you know, you're someone that's keeping your eye on them more consistently. Where do you think that this team, the Carolina Panthers this year, really went wrong? Where did their demise start this season?
I just think the biggest thing, I don't know when Cam Newton got hurt, because look, he obviously, there's an issue for him to sit the last couple of games. He alluded to it after the Monday night game in Carolina against New Orleans a week and a half ago. Obviously, it's been bothering him for a while. And if you watch their games, and I probably watched them, like you said, a little more closely than you guys, he was accurate a lot earlier in the season. And I've seen Cam, you know, I know his completion percentage will never be the Drew Brees type of completion percentage, because he brings a different game. But it just wasn't the same, especially against Detroit, the two-point conversion. They go to Seattle and lose. The Tampa game, he had four interceptions. They lose by seven. The Cleveland game, he wasn't the same guy. It wasn't even close to being the same guy throwing the football. And I think that's kind of how they lost their way. Secondary-wise, I think they do okay. The Jackson kid they drafted from LSU is going to be a good player for them. He has already. But there's been issues there. The front four has been solid. The linebackers are fantastic. But I just think it was a team that they won some close games early on. came through in the clutch. You know, big wins at Philadelphia, down 17-0 early. So you're thinking it's the same. It's, you know, it's the Panthers beating the Ravens by 14 or 15 points, things like that. But then all of a sudden it turned downhill, and it actually started on the Thursday night in Pittsburgh when they just got demolished, and it just went downhill from there, and it hasn't gone up.
Jake, give me your thoughts on this Saints team so far.
Dude, Super Bowl or bust, I'll be very honest. I mean, let's cut to the chase. You watch the NFC. I think it's very wide open, the NFL, so to speak, in both conferences. But, you know, securing home field advantage, and look, all the pressure, they can say what they want. The pressure's on the Saints. Everybody knows this is their Super Bowl team. This is their run. Can somebody come in and beat them? I'm not quite sure. I don't think the Rams can come in and do it. I think losing Cooper Kupp has really kind of hurt their offense tremendously, and they're just not the same. Can a Chicago – I don't know. If they have nothing to play for, their defense is fantastic. You get them on the turf, they can really do some things defensively. But then again, the questions at quarterback. Russell Wilson, I think, would be one that would scare me. I just don't think Dallas can come into the Superdome and beat the Saints. I know that Thursday night game, what we saw, but I just think that home field advantage or dome field advantage, it's real. Both of you guys know that, and it's very real.
Jake DeLum, thank you so much for being with us, man. We appreciate the time, and certainly good luck with the horses, and enjoy your time off, buddy.
I will. Take care, guys. Great speaking with you.
I'm going to catch you out there at the fairgrounds too, Jake.
Anytime, Deuce, anytime.
Thank you, Jake DeLum. You know, Deuce, I was thinking, like, when you're a baseball player, you put a weight on the bat, you swing it a few times. When you swing it, in, you know, with the donut off of it, the bat feels lighter.
Right.
So if we threw you up on top of a horse and trained the horse with you on its back, man, you put it in a race with a real jockey, boom, out the gate.
Every horse going to be down. He got some type of injury. He wouldn't even be able to run. Every horse. I mean, as soon as I get on him, every horse is down.
Fans and the Pros will return in a little bit. You're listening to WWL. Who is this? Crab Claw. See, now it's not easy to find music out of Charlotte. There's a cultural issue because Charlotte, quote unquote, music is it's few and far between, Deuce.
I'm listening to it and I was trying to find it, but.
No, that's not for us. We are, just so you know, for anyone that's joining us for the first time ever, me and Deuce always play music from the team we're playing. The Saints do that in the indoor facility for practice. So if you're going to play the Carolina Panthers, they're going to try to find songs about Carolina or Charlotte or any of those things. Carolina is a tough one. Some cities are very easy.
Right.
Some cities are very difficult. Carolina or Charlotte certainly is not one of the easy ones. It is what it is. I want to share a story before we move on here about Jake DeLum. I don't know if Jake would appreciate me telling the story, but I'm going to share it anyways, and I'm going to leave names out of it so that I don't get anybody hurt or in trouble. Yeah. But so Jake DeLum is a starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers. It's my second year, I believe. I think it was 07 in the National Football League. The third-string quarterback in Carolina, Brett Bazinet, was the best man at my wedding. He was our quarterback at Northwestern. He's one of my best friends. So Jake is injured. He's not in this game. The backup is playing. They have a rookie tight end. I'm going to leave his name out of this story. He's in the game. It's right before the end of the first half. And I remember being on the sideline and watching and someone being like, "Did you think he fell? Because there's something on the back of his pants." And you're just like, I don't know what that is. Well, turns out it was exactly what we had thought maybe that it was, and I won't share exactly that. I think you can figure it out. So they go into the locker room, and this tight end runs in. And he tells the equipment guys, "I need another pair of pants," and he changes out of his pants, and he throws them in the garbage can. Okay? Well, Jake, since street clothes that week, isn't playing, said, "I think that I can have fun with those." And so he pulls them out of the garbage can. So this guy moves on. He finishes the game. This is an embarrassing moment. They're wearing white pants. It's very obvious. There was nobody that wasn't really sure of what it was. Everyone knew what it was. Jake takes the pants and has them shadow boxed. He has them framed up with a plaque inside with the date and the player's name and what he had done with those pants on that day. And then he displays it in his locker for him in a couple weeks when they were all done and ready. So it's one of my all-time favorite stories. I don't know who thinks of that. And I don't know who the framer was that was like, "Absolutely, Jake, I will handle that for you. Give me those pants. I'll frame them right up."
That's when you got too much time on your hands, and you had to know that kid well. He is truly, truly embarrassed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a terrible deal. And so, but Jake's a great guy. I love him, and I know Brett was a big fan. So we're gonna go back to the phone lines. Joyner in New Orleans, how you doing, Joyner?
I'm doing good, boss. Talked to you guys the other week. I told you I was gonna be at the Pittsburgh game.
Yes, sir.
So loud, my brother, I couldn't talk for about 3 days.
Understood. My wife still doesn't have a voice.
But I think Teddy's going to do real good, man. I think when we win the Super Bowl, Drew will retire, and then we'll re-sign Teddy, or say Drew stays. You think Teddy will want to stay, get a first-round draft pick for him?
Yeah, listen, my ideal situation is that the Saints win the Super Bowl. Drew Brees rides off into the sunset as a Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl MVP, two-time world champion, cement his place in history. He gets to move on, be with his family more. The Saints signed Teddy Bridgewater, and the Saints are back in the playoffs next season. I would love to see that happen. I don't know that all that's going to happen, but, man, I sure would love it.
Yeah, I mean, we would just be speculating if we told you that we knew for sure. I mean, we can lay out a couple of scenarios. I mean, but one, we don't control what Drew is going to do ultimately, and I think that's really going to decide what Teddy decides to do for himself.
Right. Let me ask you about what about Big Armstead, man? I saw him go back out, but I'm praying that he's so healthy during the playoffs, man, because with that healthy offense, nobody could come in this dorm and beat us, man.
Yeah, Joyner, and listen, Teron had a pec injury, soft tissue injury. He retweaked it, and so – you know, unfortunately, with those injuries, it's hard to tell, and everyone heals differently. And what was amazing is that he played with it for a quarter and a half with one arm. Right. I mean, it's just I can't explain to you how impossible that is to play in a professional football game as a lineman with one arm. But he did it. He came out when he said, "I felt like I was a liability," and he was, because he had one arm. But you know, Teron's going to get some time here. You know, he's got a little bit of a break. He's not going to do anything this week, next week. They can hold him till deep into the week, that first round of the playoffs. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's just we are just going to have to wait and see how he heals up and what he does. But, I mean, I know that Teron is thinking, I'm going to be back. I'm going to be ready to play come the playoffs. So we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. Well, Happy New Year's, man. I appreciate you guys, and hoo that, baby.
Appreciate it, Joyner. WWL Food Runner or Blue Runner Foods opinion poll. Do you think the Saints will win Sunday even if all the starters don't play? Call us at 504-260-1870 or text us at 870-870. More Fans and Pros when we return on WWL. Welcome back to Fans and the Pros. Deuce and I here till 6:30 tonight. Then LSU basketball takes over at 6:30 as they take on – where's it at on my sheet here, Deuce? Killam Monroe? Oh, UL. I got that in my my headphones. You couldn't hear that, but poor reproduction of what he said to me. So we got on the text line a text asking, could you give an example of how a quarterback changes a play at the line of scrimmage? There's a bunch of them. There's a lot of different options. There's some really simple ones. The first would be a kill package. A kill package is when the quarterback gives you two plays in the huddle. So he may give you a pass, kill it to a run. He comes up to the line of scrimmage. He's looking at the safeties. If there's two high safeties, then we'll run the football. So he'll kill it. So he'll come up to the ball. He goes through his normal cadence. He might say, blue 80, kill, 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 kill. That just tells everybody we're going to the second play. That's the first and easiest. The next one would be changing the direction of a play. Certain plays we want to run to maybe a three technique, to the defensive tackle that's widest. So he comes up to the ball, the call is called to the right.
And he may see pressure.
Sure, or away from pressure, absolutely. So he comes up to the ball, he sees, okay, it's called to the right, but we want to run it to the left. He comes up, he just says simply opposite, opposite. There's a hand signal for that. The ball goes the other direction. Just flips the exact same play, mirror image to the other side.
Yeah, and so one of the things that when you talk about changing these plays, what makes it so, easier, or you prefer for it to be this way, you can't get that deep into what Zach is talking about. You can, but you need a veteran quarterback and a veteran group that has been together. Is it makes it tough to do on the road. And so you see maybe if a young quarterback, his package may not be as extravagant as Zach is describing it. So it may be only one pass play, one run play. He may not have two pass plays. He may not have two run plays together. That when you do that, you've got a very experienced offensive line and a very experienced quarterback to be able to think quickly and then to be able to change the play. Because you talk about from blocking assignments to receivers having to realign themselves, going from one spot to another. And so what me and Zach said, what we'll do in the next hour is we'll give like a play call. Just like Drew would call it in the huddle, we'll give it to you in that manner, and then, you know, let him go through Keel, re-mic a certain backer, make this 51 the mic. He's going to change it now. Let's go to 38. 38 will be the mic, and that changes the assignment for the guard, tackle, center, offensive line, as well as for the back as well.
We will do it when we come back, Deuce. We'll go through the whole play call. You can hear it here live. I'm going to make Deuce do it. I don't know. It's been a long time since he was in this offense. More after this break on WWL.